I'm Marianne Kolbaszek-McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm speaking with Jeff Wickman, a ransomware negotiator and current Director of Incident Response at security firm Symparis. So, Jeff, Symparis, along with international research firm CensusWide, recently conducted a global study of 900 IT and security professionals to examine ransomware attack trends. I understand that the study found that nearly 75% of healthcare organizations experienced a ransomware attack over the past year and were targeted on a weekend or a holiday. More than 60% of healthcare organizations experience a ransomware attack following a material corporate event, such as a merger, acquisition, or restructuring. And at the same time, over 80% of healthcare organizations reduced security operations center staffing by as much as 50% on weekends and holidays. Based on these findings, what can healthcare sector organizations learn? What are the actions that they can start taking ASAP to better address these issues?
So if you think about it from the attacker perspective, anytime there's a major holiday or a weekend, they know that we are short-staffed. They know that people are going to be, the work-life balance. They're, employers want to be nice to the employees and give them extra time off. Whereas in reality, we should be staffing up because if the attackers know for a fact that on weekends, we as US citizens take time off, that's the opportune time. They've got an entire weekend to wreak havoc. Organizations should be staffing up into the holiday season, not down. It's a double-edged sword. It's unfortunate that we have to do that, but at the same time, it is extremely important that when the attackers are ready to attack, we need to be ready.
So, Jeff, with that said, you mentioned, staffing up on weekends and holidays. What other steps can organizations take to sort of outsmart the attackers? If, say, they have a small staff and they really can't staff up much, these people work all year round, they want the holidays off, what can they do?
I would say in that case that it's working with partners. If a firm can afford to get a security operations center, a managed service provider that can provide that coverage on weekends and holidays, perfect. But you got to make sure that they're staffed completely during the holiday and weekend seasons. And then other than that, it's simple training for the eventual breach. No organization, not even healthcare, should go into a mindset of we're not going to get breached. If they haven't been already, my guess is an attacker is probably already eyeing them up or lurking within their environment, just waiting. You've got your typicals. You've got your deploying EDR, protecting your endpoints, cutting off privileged access as much as possible, putting in controls and detection mechanisms so that if, say, a standard user suddenly becomes a domain admin, that's a red flag. That's a red alarm, and everybody should be trying to figure out what is going on at that point. And the account, if it's not authorized, should be removed. Shouldn't be a non-event when someone gets raised to domain admin privileges. Because think about it, that's what the attacker needs to steal information, stage their C2, and then deploy ransomware throughout an environment.
So, Jeff, are these issues on holidays and weekends something that all industries face, or are there industries that seem to be handling these sorts of staffing and other related issues more effectively, or perhaps other regions of the world that seem to be doing a better job to prepare for these attacks and to avoid these sort of situations? What can the US healthcare sector learn from that?
I don't think anyone's exempt to it. If attackers find an opportune time to, create a diversion or an attack, they're going to take that, especially when it's low staffing. Organizations need to prepare for the worst, and train for the worst. And that includes, practicing recovery drills, bringing back your critical assets in a timely fashion. Really understanding how long does it take to bring back operations, and not from a theoretical, oh, we can just push a button and the backup will restore of the domain controller. There are more steps involved. They really need to get that real time objective nailed down.
Now, Jeff, you work as a ransomware negotiator and an incident response expert. What are you keeping a close eye on in terms of the cyber threats and the cybersecurity landscape in the months and year ahead, especially in the healthcare sector? What sort of trends are you seeing that are something that, the healthcare sector should really be paying attention to?
I think it's going to be a lot of the same. The attackers, they know where the money is at. They know what needs to be done to force leverage. It may delve into, call it more of a physical threat. And what I mean by that is right now, if an attacker reaches out to you and says, "Hey, we've got your information. This is a sample of the data, pay us or else." Organizations have the ability to ignore that. However, the attackers take and deliver that to the media, or start posting online in general forums where data's coming from. I think it's going to be a little bit harder for organizations to ignore it. Then my other concern for the coming year is potential changes to the regulatory landscape. A lot of organizations put profit over security. My fear is that regulations change and get laxed, and organizations use that as a opportune time for increasing their profits by cutting security controls. I think that's the worst case scenario. I do, go to the doomsday often. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but that's where my brain is at right now.
So, now, Jeff, you mentioned some of the things you're worried about. Are there any top cyber lessons that are emerging from some of the incidents that we've seen in 2024 that could be most useful as companies go into 2025, especially in the healthcare sector? For instance, we saw, the big attack on Change Healthcare that impacted so many entities in the healthcare sector. Any lessons from attacks such as that or other incidents that you think were pretty exceptional in terms of their impact this year?
I think a lot of what I've experienced and what I've learned from attacks over the last year and even further back is backups fail. Either the backups have not been tested and they can validate that they can bring those backups back online, or the attacker finds those backups and destroys them. Organizations need to do a better job of validating that they have backups and they have offline backups in the event of a doomsday scenario where an attacker, encrypts everything, even the online backups. Needs to be thoroughly vetted and thoroughly tested. It should become second nature. And then I think the other piece is knowing who your third parties are, what controls they have in place, and then really around the identity. The identity is your perimeter. You have to control the users and the assets that have the ability to make changes throughout an environment, aka domain admins or the tier zero assets.
When it comes to identity, when it comes to backups, are there certain mistakes that you see entities making over and over again that really, need to be corrected and corrected soon? And why aren't they being fixed?
Yeah, absolutely. So from the identity side, a lot of what we see when we do our assessments is the help desk has the ability to change all passwords within an environment. And if you think about it, that makes logical sense. The help desk is there to provide password recovery services. However, the help desk is typically a standard user. They're not a domain admin, but they have the ability to change domain admin password. That's a risk. The help desk should be treated as we call it, a tier zero or a high value target asset. Because if I can effectively, as help, if I, breach a help desk employee, I can then use that to reset a domain admin password and wreak havoc. That, and from a Microsoft AD perspective, AD's been around forever. A lot of organizations have put it in place, and I don't want to say forgotten about it because they use it on a regular basis by adding and removing users, but no one looks at the underpinning security controls behind what is an Active Directory and what's changed over the years. A lot of times we see domain admins that, they haven't logged in 3 years, but they still have an active account. Assessments need to be conducted on your AD environments, and cleaned up and tightened up as much as possible.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff. I've been speaking with Jeff Wickman. I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.